around the country for the past couple weeks, pastors have faced this huge learning curve in the sense of how do we produce online Sunday morning services that do not look like a Bin Laden capture video? And then there's a second dilemma in all that is how do we send out daily messages where we don't sound like we're POWs reading from a script that was handed to us by the enemy. Now, in all fairness to pastors, we're people. We like to look at somebody's face and see that smile and that reaction and make that connection, and it's a whole lot different when you're staring into a blank camera. But if you've watched a few of these online, you understand what I'm talking about when I say try to make something that doesn't look like a POW. And maybe some of you have felt like a POW in the last week. But if you have or you haven't, I'm going to make a confession this morning. All right, everybody ready for this? I am a prisoner. I am a prisoner of hope. I am a prisoner of hope, and my desire is by the time we're done today that each of you will confess, I am a prisoner of hope. In fact, on our Facebook page, I posted a picture that says, I'm a prisoner of hope. And if that's you, if you're saying, that's me, I'm a prisoner of hope, go ahead and share that picture. Declare to everyone out there that you are a prisoner of hope. Now, why am I a prisoner of hope? Let me give you some context, and if you would, let's kind of journey together in our imagination. Let's journey back on a Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. And we're going to stand outside of the Mount of Olives, where a man named Jesus Christ stood. He stood in the place where he would later be betrayed by a kiss. And from this vantage point, Jesus could look out, and he would see the temple, where he was going to astonish the people. He would also see the courtyard, where the money changers would be setting up their tables at this time. And in a clear sight, he would see the place of the Last Supper, the house of the high priest. He would see the courtyard where Peter denied him. He could see the place of trial. He could see the Via Della Rosa. He could see Golgotha. And for you and I, thank God, he could see the empty tomb from where he stood. So Jesus knew the pain and the trials and the difficulties before him, and he also sees your trials. He sees my trials. He sees what we're going through right at this moment. And as he stood out and looked out on that morning, he saw more than his own trials. I imagine he saw the blind, the lame, and the beggars coming to the streets, sitting outside the temple. He would have saw the men and the women and the children that would soon cut palm branches and spread them along the road with their cloaks as they shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest! And Jesus, on this day, as he rode this donkey into Jerusalem, he would captivate many who desperately needed something. The same thing you and I need. They desperately needed hope. And this word, Hosanna, it means save us now. And this hope that they are crying out for is very specific. And so when I say to you, I'm a prisoner of hope, I'm very specific in the hope that I'm looking towards. If we look here in context, this hope is found in the Son of David, the promised Messiah who would come from the highest places, which is heaven, and he would come to save us from sin, he would bring about his kingdom, and he eventually would make all things new. So if we would paraphrase what they're saying when they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest, we could paraphrase it saying, save us, Messiah, the one who comes to fulfill God's mission. Save us now and take your rightful place on the throne and extend heaven's salvation to us. That is the cry that is going out, and I hope that is the cry that is going out in your heart. And Matthew's gospel tells us that as Jesus entered, Matthew says this, the whole city was stirred up saying, who is this? One of the things I really love about Jesus is he has a way of stirring things up. Nobody that meets Jesus walks away neutral about him. They don't do that. He has a way of captivating the audience. Now maybe you didn't like that word prisoner in the phrase "I am a prisoner of hope." Let me tone it down for a minute. I'm going to pick it back up again, but let me tone it down for a minute. Let's use the word captivating. And the reality is anybody hearing my voice? Everybody you know, they are captivated by something. Their heart is captivated by someone or something. Your heart can be captivated by fear, by greed, by money, by lust, by power, by food, relaxation, COVID-19, whatever it is, there is something that is holding you captive, that you are captivated by. Someone or something will captivate your thought or your heart. And here's a reality. Anybody that comes face to face with the reality of the person of Jesus Christ, one of two things is going to happen. One, he's either going to captivate your heart, or he's going to reveal what you're a prisoner to. One or two things. You are going to be captivated by Jesus, or he's going to reveal that you are held prisoner by something else. And think about the religious leaders in Jesus' day. When they came face to face with him, what was revealed? It was revealed that they were held prisoner. They were held prisoner by tradition, by greed, by power, and fear. And they ultimately chose those things over the hope that they had that they could have in Jesus Christ. Today, I choose to be a prisoner of hope in Jesus Christ. And I pray that is your choice today. And his presence, it's so powerful. Just think about that. He's riding in on this donkey. And people who do not know him, they begin to ask. They say, who is this man? Who is this guy that people are shouting for? Who is this man that people are placing all their hope in? Now, to understand this question, we need to back up another 500 years. Or at least to answer this question, we need to go back to a prophet named Zechariah. And Zechariah began ministering among Jewish people who had returned from captivity in Babylon. And the central theme of Zechariah's writing was encouragement and hope. And the key to this hope was the coming Messiah to overthrow the ungodly forces and establish his kingdom on earth. Let's read what he wrote. Now, keep in mind, this is 500 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Here's what Zechariah writes 500 years earlier. He says, rejoice greatly. Zechariah 9:9-12, if you're following along. Zechariah 9:9-12. And he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Listen to this. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. He says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. In other words, I'm going to save you from these things. And the battle bow shall be cut off. And he, the one that is coming on that donkey, he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. And as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today, I declare that I will restore to you double. But we need to understand, this Palm Sunday, this event where Jesus is riding in on a donkey is no ordinary event. This is talked about 500 years before this happened. Who is this man? Who is this man that's riding on the donkey? He is the long-awaited Messiah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's worthy of all praise and all honor. He is the hope of the nations. Oh, I pray that you become a prisoner of hope today, that your trust, your faith, whatever you're going through, that you are a prisoner of hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And I want to point out four promises that this hope of the nations that Jesus Christ is bringing to us. If we go back to verse 9, we see the first one is salvation. Zechariah says this. He says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous." That means he's good. Everything that he does is right. It's as it should be. He's righteous and having salvation. Think about Jesus as he walked the earth, as he lived here. He faced many of the same things that you and I do, including something that all of us are going to face one day, and that's death. And Jesus' death was unique. And that on that cross, he took the sins of the world upon himself. And because sin and death needed to be defeated. And when Jesus rose from the grave, which we're going to celebrate big time next week, and you can begin to celebrate that right now, death needed to be defeated. And here's the reality. Because of what Jesus has done, death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory and fear has lost its grip. Become a prisoner of hope today. And because sin and death has been defeated, those who have faith in Christ will actually one day live in perfect peace. That is the second promise that is given by this one who rides in on a donkey. It's peace that's found in verse 10. In Jesus, we have God's peace. Or the word Jesus would have spoken to the people would have been shalom. And shalom is not just an absence of war, but it's a genuine accord and harmony. A society in which people care for one another. And when universal shalom takes place or is present, flourishing takes place. In the purest sense, the world is as it should be. The world is not as it should be right now. In the fullness of God's shalom, it will be. And the fullness of that will be found in Revelation 21. You want to know what God's shalom looks like? Read Revelation 21. This relationship is right. This relationship is right. Relationship with ourselves and our body is right. No more sickness, no more death, no more dying, and all of creation is restored. That is a picture of God's shalom. But it's not just one day pie in the sky. You and I can have peace in the midst of what's going on right now. The trials you and I are facing, we can have peace in the midst of a broken and messed up world. In fact, Jesus said this, John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." He says, listen, "Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid." Jesus gives us his peace. In verse 11, we get our third promise, freedom. Freedom in Christ. The whole world is full of people that are looking for freedom. Freedom from oppression. Depression, addiction, and ultimate freedom is going to be found in Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you say, "I'm a prisoner of hope, my hope is found in him," guess what we are? We are a microcosm of what the kingdom of God will look like. It's like we're a colony planted right here. To point people to say, one day, this will be extended to all of creation. This is what it will look like to be a part of the kingdom. And people see that, or they don't see it when we don't do these things, but they see that when we walk in peace, when we live out freedom in Christ, when we live out kingdom principles, and we place our hope in Christ, and we share about God's salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me read verse 11. Let's kind of zoom in on that. Verse 11 of Zechariah 9 says this. He says, "For you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." The next time the Bible talks about blood of a covenant will be 500 years later. Zechariah talks about the blood of a covenant 500 years later, a few days after Palm Sunday. Jesus is going to speak about blood of the covenant again. Listen to what Jesus says as he institutes the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, 28 through 29, he says, "For this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You ever think about this? When we celebrate communion and when we have communion together and in our homes, via the internet, when we do that, we are celebrating the fullness of the Father's kingdom that will come. Communion is about hope. It's this recognition that God is going to restore all things. And I know He is because Jesus said He would. And when a man rises from the dead after 3 days and says, "This is what's going to happen and everything I told you is true," he'd probably be the guy to bet on. That's where I'm placing things. And Zechariah says this. He says, speaking of Jesus, speaking of the Messiah, he says, "I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." I said earlier that when you and I come face to face with the reality of the person of Jesus Christ, He's either going to captivate your heart, or He's going to reveal what you are truly captivated by. And Jesus came to set us free. Because the word says here that the things that captivate us that aren't Jesus, it says those are waterless pit. That doesn't sound like a good place to be, right? A waterless pit. Other places talks about a broken cisterns that hold no water. The things that we go to, they don't amount to much. And Jesus comes to those of us, which at one point included all of us, were in that waterless pit. And He comes and He makes an offer. He says, "I want to set you free from sin, from death, from the prison of that waterless pit." And here's the thing. Whatever holds you captive, if it's hope in Jesus Christ, or if it's this sin, if it's power, whatever it is, you have a choice. You have a choice as to what holds your heart captive. And if you're a prisoner of a waterless pit, Jesus offers an exchange. We're going to look at this exchange. Verse 12, and here's our fourth promise, hope. Verse 12 says, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare to you, I will restore to you double." I don't know what that means exactly, what that means that He's going to restore double, but it sounds pretty good. Sounds really good. And here's the thing about any promise. Any promise is as good as the person offering it, right? Because you and I have all had people that said, "I promise you I'll be there next week. I promise you I'll do this." And sometimes you're like, "Yeah, okay. This is from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a promise from God Almighty." Cool thing about His promises is they always take place. And He invites you to return. Return to the stronghold. What's the stronghold that He's talking about here? but it's the Lord. Let me read what David said in 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 and 3. 2 Samuel 22, 2 and 3. David speaking, he says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Is that true for you today? That the Lord is your rock, he is your fortress, he is your deliverer. He says, "My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." The invitation here from Jesus, from the Word of God, is to return to him. Walk in his love. Live out his kingdom principles. Stay connected to his body. That is your stronghold. Our stronghold is in the Lord. The stronghold is in his body and what he's doing in the world. Return to that stronghold, prisoners of hope. And my desire is that you will do that today. That you'll come to Jesus. Maybe for the first time. Maybe again, just that reminder of, yes, Jesus, I come to you today. I need you today. Call upon him as your Lord and Savior. Receive from him what he did for you on the cross as he defeated sin, as he defeated death, and as he rose victoriously. Walk in his salvation, his peace, his freedom, and his hope. And there's something that we need to be reminded as we move forward in our current situation. The people that are going to have the most influence are going to be the people that have the most hope. And we should be the most hopeful people on the planet. Become a prisoner of hope. And if you're on Facebook there and you see that picture that I posted and you're saying, "I'm a prisoner of hope," share that thing. You know what we need to make go viral? Not just that picture. We need hope to go viral. People need hope. Let hope go viral today. Let me close in a word of prayer, and then I'll have the worship team come back up. I found this prayer by Pastor Scotty Smith of Christ Community Church in Franklin, Tennessee. And it ties into what we're talking, and I'll just close with the prayer that he wrote. "Lord Jesus, you are that King. You are the King of glory, the Monarch of mercy, the Governor of grace, the Prince of peace. Indeed, you are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Great is our rejoicing, because great is our salvation. You have come to us and for us, righteous and victorious, victoriously loving and sovereign, and by the riches of your grace, continue to free us from the waterless pits, the broken cisterns, and the worthless idols. By the power of the gospel, enable us to live as prisoners of hope and agents of redemption until the day you return to finish making all things new. So verily, amen, we pray in your holy and matchless name." And all of God's people said, "Amen." Mm-hmm.